Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
That's Joe Flacco probably feeling the pressure, feeling the strain, knowing that the Browns fan base is no longer with him. Like,
I'm Team Joe here. I know what I signed up for.
What did he sign up for, Daryl?
Bad football.
Being used as a punching bag back there behind the shaky tackles, and I had the numbers to back it up finally, which was he was analytically... He was the most pressured quarterback week in the NFL.
He was under siege. Got hit 9 times, sacked 3 times. Not a lot of time to make decisions. Obviously, the mobility comes into play when your tackles are turnstiles at this point. And again, I don't think Dillon Gabriel gives him a better chance to win. Here's what the quarterback change gives Browns fans. Right now, you're... Not even in September. You're already reading mock drafts for next year. Congratulations. We haven't even gotten to October, and Lima's already checking out mock drafts.
We have 5-22 right now, thanks to Jacksonville.
Draft talk for the win here in the month of September when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. But what it gives fans the pound of flesh. I think that that's why so many folks right now are in this make the change, because you're not going anywhere anyway. With Joe Flacco, so you get your pound of flesh. It's just like the whole fire Bubba Ventrone thing. Yeah, it gives you a pound of flesh, but then who's going to coach special teams? Is it really going to get any better if you fired Bubba Ventrone? The answer to that question is no. Is it really going to get any better if you bench Joe Flacco in favor of Dillon Gabriel? Once again, the answer to the question is no, but it gives you something to psychologically as a fan say, well, we got the kid going this week. You know, a little change, a little good, right? And so materially, I don't think it affects change.
Well, fans always think different is going to be better.
And let's remember, the most popular player on the team is usually the backup or the third-string quarterback, which in this case, this year, it's the third-string quarterback. Everyone loves Shedeur Sanders. I don't know if the kid can play. I don't know if the kid's ready to play, but everybody loves buying their Shedeur Sanders jerseys right now, okay? And they're all excited about the prospect of at some point getting to see him. But Dillon Gabriel, it feels like the groundswell is here. The fans want to see him, not because they think he's going to make it better, not because he thinks that the Browns all of a sudden is going to start winning football games, but because it's just not the same thing that they've watched the last 3 weeks, in which the Browns have scored 16, 17, 13, and now 10 Oof. Points in a game. Quick math for you. That's 14 points a game. Also, the fourth worst scoring average since 1999, only bested by the 2000 expansion Browns, the 99 expansion Browns, and the Eric Mangini 2011 Cleveland Browns.
So you're truly saying it doesn't matter who's quarterback. Now, Jameis Winston had some moments. Jameis Winston was fun.
At least Jameis Winston made it entertaining. Here's the thing. If they lost in entertaining fashion, it'd be easier to swallow. But when you get boat raced in Baltimore and then you go to Detroit and you get boat raced, right? That's a problem. You lost in week one because Andre Schmidt couldn't make a kick, and okay, he bounced back, all right, to help you beat Green Bay with that 55-yarder. All things being equal, should be a 2-2 football team instead of 1-3. But guess what? The reality is, they're a 1-3 football team. They look like a 1-3 football team. If they were 2-2, we'd be talking ourselves into how good they are and are they a legit contender? They're not. They never were. They weren't a contender in training camp. Okay,
It's just that simple. I will say this in our conversation with Jason. I do agree with him that if you gave everybody in the organization in the decision-making circle the trust there, which includes Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, mm-hmm. I think if you gave everybody some truth serum, I think they would say that they would have preferred Kenny Pickett be the starting quarterback.
I've had that theory. I've seen some others share that theory as well. I think
that is my theory as well.
But of course, we didn't love that option either. We talked on this show. Ken Carmen, holy
what
cow.
What did I tell you guys in training camp that you guys jumped all over me for? There are no good options.
That you were making fun of Dylan Gabriel's size and it seemed unprofessional at times, Daryl?
Well, I make fun of Ken Carmen's size all the time. And
that's
I don't
professional.
Get... Oh, okay.
No, that is a professional approach. I do want to ask, and we'll go back to the phones here in a second. Why do people think he's going to fare better than, say, the number one overall pick, Cam Ward? Has anybody seen what's going on with Cam Ward? Okay, did anybody think Dylan Gabriel was better than Cam Ward coming out of college? Did anybody? Gabriel's family think he was better than Cam Ward coming out of college? Have you seen what Cam Ward is doing? He's obviously 0-4, and they're a disaster, and their line's a disaster.
And
who's their offensive line coach?
Yeah, Bill Callahan.
They've actually got, maybe the best in the game. And yesterday, he was 10 of 26 against Houston. Guys, 10 of 26 for 108 yards. He was sacked, I think, twice. He was under pressure the whole game. Why does anybody think it's going to be better than that?
Because, again, it's all psychological. That's all this is. It's all mental. A change means better. Because the status quo is awful, okay? Now, the reality is the change is not going to be better, but it at least gives folks something different to look at. That's what it comes down to, Anthony. Mm-hmm. It's just something different for people to look at, because what you've watched these last 4 weeks, it's untenable. It's unwatchable at times. I mean, when they got down inside the five-yard line, they had, first and goal, I think it was at the one. And they ran it the first two times, got stuffed. Then they tried the Joe Flacco. It was the worst version of the tush push I've ever seen, right? Joe couldn't get in. And I was sitting there watching that series. Now, thankfully, they punched it in. But as I'm watching that, Anthony, I'm sitting there like, how embarrassing. If they can't punch this in, how embarrassing would this be for Kevin Stefanski and this offense? Because Kevin's the offensive guru, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is where a lot of fan criticism is. But Kevin can't go out there and block. Kevin can't throw the football. Kevin can't catch the ball. I don't know from a schematic standpoint, and I think Jason also made another good point in talking about the playbook is reduced for Joe. A lot of the rollouts, a lot of the stuff that Kevin likes to do, he can't do with Joe.
They tried them. They tried the rollouts.
Well, they should take all of the rollouts out of it, not just some of them.
I'd probably eliminate those as well with Joe.
Put them in the recycle bin. But, what else is Kevin supposed to do at this point? He can only work with what he's given to work with. And if you want to blame anyone for what he has to work with, it's Andrew Berry.
But do you think he's getting the maximum potential out of what he's got to work with? Answer the question.
Yeah, because what's the maximum he has to work with?
That's fine if that's what you think. I disagree. I think the play calling has not been...
I'm not being facetious. What does he have to work with?
Yeah, I agree with you, but we've got to get away from trying to run the 40-year-old quarterback on bootlegs and play action and things like that.
I'm with you there.
I have to get away from it. That was the vegetables you were given for your ingredients. But that's what you got, so you got to try to start doing something different.
Because
it wasn't just this week. They beat Green Bay with 60 minutes of bad offense. Yeah. They did not play. I'm not going to give them the benefit of the last 3 minutes. The defense
put
them
in 4 yards to tie the game.
They have not done a good job all year offensively. They should have won week one. They, in spite of themselves, won week three. Week two and week four, horrible offense, and it's running plays that do not mesh with the guys that you have right now. And I know the guys you have right now and the blockers you have right now are not great, but that doesn't cut it.
Well, and even when you call
and
the
it's
right
professional football, it's not little kids.
Well, when you,
you're being paid to do it, go do it.
When you finally call the right play, like the screen in Njoku, all I sit there and think is, well, Betonio misses a block.
Yeah.
Njoku looks way slower than he was in his prime. It looks like he's already out of his athletic prime.
Well, did you see the one, the bubble? He gets he thought he was going to squirt free.
Mm-hmm.
He gets brought down, and he just you know, pounded the turf in frustration.
And then I'm like, well, maybe that should be Fannin instead. maybe that play.
Right now, Anthony, I feel like every play should be Fannin. Yeah. Fannin's the only guy, and Junkins.
And Junkins.
Those are the guys that I go.
Every play.
How do we get them the ball every play?
Yeah.
I don't care if the other team knows it. They're the only ones moving forward positively on offense whenever they touch
can't the ball. Can't rely on Judkin. I mean, can't rely on
Jerry Judy's going to drop it. Yeah. Tillman's going to drop it. I mean, that's what's happening.
Jerome Ford's going to get tackled for a loss or maybe get back to the line of scrimmage if he's lucky.
If he spins around enough, he'll get to the line of scrimmage.
Seems like keep hitting the spin button. It might work at some point.
So we all agree. Let's one thing we can all agree with, okay? We're getting rid of the rollouts. No more handoffs to Fannin right now. I understand why that is intoxicating looking at his college tape. And I called some of his games in college where they did that.
Let Elijah Moore's history just kick in. We'll just add that into the Fannin.
We don't need that. And I would swap out the Njoku plays right now. I would. I get that they like to do two tight end things. Fine. That's part of their identity. Is the 12 personnel and everything. I think Fannin. And I know he had some drops, too. Fannin had some drops in camp,
but
too.
But if you want to do those plays, do you think Dylan Gabriel can run them better than Flacco? I'm not saying mentally know what to do with the plays.
He'll at least
just
be
physically
able to,
be able to do those plays. So why don't you want to change to him?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
What to do at quarterback. We're going to talk about that in a second. I also want to remind you, Guardians tickets went on sale for the playoffs. So if they have to have a third game, it's there too. But you want to go out, if you want to get tickets, they were on sale, I think at 10 o'clock they went on sale, or right after 10 o'clock at CLEGuardians.com. Is that right? CLEGuardians.com. To make sure that if you want to get tickets into that, you can knock yourself out. So I do want to talk about Browns for a second here. And you know, we get into the quarterback situation. Flacco yesterday was 16 of 34, 184 yards, two picks, sacked three times. I don't know that Joe Flacco is the problem, I'll be honest with you, because, I don't think you can walk into an NFL game with three-fifths of your offensive line. They're missing both tackles. So maybe today.
The Packers did last night.
Can you do it every game? You had a plan. What should you be?
The offensive line hasn't. The injuries have been really rough. There's no question.
Okay, so
teams overcome that.
Okay, what I'm saying is, I think you're already at a disadvantage when your wide receivers are missing. Either Joe Flacco is missing them on routes, or they're dropping passes. So that's a bad mix to start. Then you throw in an offensive line that is 3/5 whole. And it's been that way all season. We don't know what's going to happen moving forward, other than the fact they picked up Cam Robinson today, which hopefully that's a good trade. I would hope that would help.
I just described him as a good Band-Aid to Dan.
They need a Band-Aid.
He scoffed at that.
What would you call him then? I mean, they're bleeding all over the place.
He's kicked around the league for a number of years now.
Same old. I mean, the guy's been inactive for the Houston Texans for the last three games. I don't even know what week it is anymore.
He's played in three games this year and has one start. So,
and has been,
according to footballreference.com,
was inactive this week. Now that might've been cause they were trying to figure out a trade, but it's been a part of one of the worst offensive lines in football. And we're looking at this going improvement.
Well, it is. Dan.
Is he better than Cornelius Lucas?
In theory, he should be.
I think it's all the same.
It's not. I mean, if he's better than him and you do get Jack Conklin back, Let's pray.
You should be better.
You should be better on the offensive line. And the schedule should loosen up a little bit here coming up.
And there are factors here. We can go back to the Watson trade and the number ones that, you know, got traded and the other picks that got traded. That's true. You needed to figure out a way to work around that.
Munford didn't play. I don't know if he'll be ready for next week. I don't know if it makes a difference, but.
Well, you hope so.
I would hope so, too. It gives you know, a little bit of strength.
Right. They're throwing stuff at it. The problem is they're throwing stuff at it. And you're 4 weeks in. You don't want to do that.
And regardless of everything that I just said, I mean, I can make a thousand excuses to keep Joe Flacco in there and let him play quarterback. He also said, and if go read Scott's column because he talked about it yesterday after the game, look, I know why they hired me. I know why I'm here. I get it. And he also understands the business part of this. I just don't know at 1-3 where you're going with this thing. And I don't have a real problem if they said to me, or if they said to us, not me, all of us.
They're going to call you?
Yeah, they're going to, Andy, hey, we're going to go with Dylan Gabriel this week, or we're going to go with Shedeur Sanders. I don't even care. Okay, go for it. They don't have anything to lose right now. I don't. I, 1-3, yeah. I don't feel like there's any great urgency to say, oh, okay, Joe's got to start. We got to start, Joe. I don't know if they got to do anything. In fact, the rest of this draft class has looked pretty good, so why not roll the dice on one of your two quarterbacks that you put in here? If it looks ugly, what are you going to do? What's the worst case? Go back to Joe Flacco. Sometimes you need to go to the bullpen. I've always felt that. I think teams sometimes are hesitant to do that. And I'm to be honest with you, I'm a little hesitant to do that too because I'd like to give a rookie a chance to, again, figure out things in the NFL and see what they're like. Is this enough games for them to say they're not really rookies anymore, even though they haven't stepped on the field? I mean, barely.
Can I go my Cargrove on you again?
Yeah, there's two ways to go with this. And right now I'm at the feeling at 1-3, if Joe has to watch this thing from the sidelines to see one of these young guys get out there and play, I'm not going to argue.
Joe isn't the problem, or at least not all of the problem. I also don't think he's the solution.
It's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah,
there are major issues here. The offensive line has been injured. Has it played well? I don't think you can separate the injuries from the thought of, is it playing well? You know what I mean? If the guys were all there and healthy, then I think you can make that decision. The wide receivers have not been good. They've not helped. And the running game has been better. I think Quinshon looks like the real deal. But Joe wasn't the solution when you named him the starter. I mean, Andy, if we want to go real big picture here, I think the entire tone for this season was set the minute they traded down from 2 and picked up another number 1 next year. That screams quarterback next year. All right, so then why do you want to win games this year then? I know everybody wants to win games. I know that. We all know that. But if you're going to take a quarterback next year, don't you want your choice? And you decided you
look,
were
going, it bothers me to think that they would waste this defense.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I also think that
and the guys if are you're playing, looking, they're trying, but
if you're sitting in the office trying to figure out what can help you win if you've got a defense like this, it's a quarterback who just doesn't turn the ball over. And that, really, that's what
not
they
all
would need
on him either, though.
No, and I'm not saying it is. And it's like BR, a buddy of ours, sent me a text yesterday, and he goes, this isn't complicated. Turnover ratio. Look at Pittsburgh. They're plus 35 since 2023. You know what the Browns are? Minus 37. Hold on to the football. Don't lose the football.
Andy,
take care of the football.
You can win divisions with a minus number. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was baseball.
That's baseball.
I'm sorry.
Minus 6.
Sorry.
Minus 6 will get you the
Sorry about that. I forgot. So look at the quarterback situation. Did you really think going into the season having Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders was a recipe for winning football games? No. No. If you've listened to our show, you've heard that. The guy that might have given you the best chance of winning this year is sitting for the Las Vegas Raiders right now.
And you believe that. I don't know. Like, Jeff, what you want to believe.
Joe's not look good.
I know you want to keep saying that. Kenny Pickett, I don't know if it would have made a difference if it was Pickett or Flacco. I just don't.
I don't know either, but
the
I sure
only
would have
upside
liked,
was
I sure
the
would have
age.
Liked to have found out.
The age thing was the upside.
And Joe's not look good.
But he wasn't healthy. He can't make the club from the tub. I mean, he wasn't healthy.
He was healthy because the Raiders traded for him.
he wasn't healthy enough to play while he was here during the preseason. He was ready
to go at the start of the season, and they traded him.
He was hurt.
Why did the Raiders trade for him to be their backup quarterback then?
He wasn't hurt at the start of the season.
Why
did we trade him? I mean, everyone says this. You hear this time and time again.
You know why we traded him?
Because
we're drafting a quarterback next year, and you want the best pick possible. Can we all just admit that?
Yes and no.
Yes.
No fan in their right mind wants to sit there and go, let's wait till next year.
Nobody, of course not. That's why nobody has said it, Andy. Andy, you drafted quarterbacks in the third and the fifth. They're not your quarterbacks of the future. If they are, boy, did you get lucky. Congratulations.
Boy, they seem pretty excited when they drafted Dylan Gabriel, like they thought they had their quarterback of the future. Well, at least, I don't know. I mean,
if they thought he was the quarterback of the future, then you would have drafted him earlier. You don't want to run the risk of him being taken by somebody else. You traded down from two, you picked up another number one, and you got rid of the guy who, at least in my opinion, would have given you the best chance to win this year. It screams you're taking a quarterback next year. You need to have the best position possible to make that happen.
Can I have at least until week?
Let's just connect all those dots, people.
Can I at least have till week eight to think that way?
You can have as long as you want. You can have as long as you want. Connect the dots. It leads to one thing and one thing only.
It leads to Jack and Solon. Counselor?
Hello, Jack. How you been, bud?
Not bad. How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm mild at best, yeah.
Go Tribe. But what I wanted to call about, excuse my voice. So other than Joe Flacco, and I really can't blame him that much, he's 40 years old. What are the two major problems that we have on offense? Name the first two that come to your mind.
Offensive line, wide receivers.
Offensive line,
exactly.
Health.
Exactly. Yeah. And what did we address of either one of those positions in the draft?
Well, you got Isaiah Bond after he got cleared.
Well, that's not really
that's fortunate, isn't it, Jack?
So, my point is, they didn't address our needs. This is what you get. This organization is a shambles. The defense is going to start giving up. Not giving up, but they're going to be resentful that we score 10 points a game. I mean, come on. This is we did better than this when we came back in 99. This is not sustainable.
Daryl was given the numbers. I think we're right there. It's very, very close. There were three teams that were worse. I've said this for a year and a half now. I'm almost more than that. You have 22 games. Of those 22 games that you've played, of the last 22 games, I think it's what, 20 or 19 games where they've scored 20 or less points. You walk into any NFL venue and they basically say, here's 21 points, go! Because they want offense in the league and we don't have it.
You drafted two quarterbacks that aren't playing.
Yep.
One of which says he should be playing. And maybe he should. But when you don't address, look, the most important thing, take it from Paul Brown, is the offensive line. We didn't address it. I don't know why they can't draft offensive linemen and receivers. We need new management. We got to gut this. This is not sustainable.
Do you want to gut the defense?
No, I don't want to gut the defense.
Okay, I don't either. But I'm looking. I mean, like,
just because they're from the Ivy League doesn't make them.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay, all right. Thanks, Jack. Seriously, Jeff. I mean, and we could do it from that phone call. Fix his team. They need two more offensive linemen and probably three wide receivers and a quarterback. I forgot about that. And a quarterback.
You need healthy offensive linemen, and then you can make a determination. That said, you have older offensive linemen. You need to get some young guys in there and start building for the future. You have Zach Zinter. Maybe Zach's ready to go. Luke Whippler's on his way. Maybe Luke's going to be the guy. You need some younger offensive linemen, and you need some wide receivers who can make plays. I mean, that's not asking for too much. Green Bay's got about 17 of those guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
He said, I knew what I signed up for when I came here. It was a quarterback competition. It was an open competition for the job. Like, he knows week to week, things could change. He knows if he doesn't play well, the Browns could absolutely pull the plug. I think he's aware of that. I also don't know if it happens this week. But everyone's saying it's going to happen this week, so maybe I'm going to be in the wrong. Maybe on Wednesday, I don't know. Are you hosting? Are you filling in on this show on Wednesday? Or are you on your show Wednesday?
I'll be on my show Wednesday.
Okay. So on Wednesday, if you end up being right, you can pull the audio from this show and you can gloat all night about how you were right and I was wrong and I'm an idiot. And that's fine. That's fine. I just think I'm just trying to think about this from a logical way. And as bad as yesterday was yet again for Joe Flacco, I think there's a lot of problems with this offense. And I think throwing Dillon Gabriel out there, given the extenuating circumstance of going across the ocean to London doesn't make a lot of sense. So to answer the question of, like, was yesterday the last straw for Joe Flacco, I think it for a lot of fans, I think it was. I think he's going to get one more shot here. And if it wasn't yesterday, then I think this week probably is the last straw. And that's why I said, initially, I think when the season started, we all kind of envisioned first six games is going to be Joe Flacco. That's now out the window for me. Like, and that, again, that's even for this week. Like, it could happen this week, but I beyond this week, if this game wasn't being played in London, I'd probably be right there with you and say, yeah, make a change. Fine. I just think that's the one thing holding me back from doing that. Even though, to your point, I know there's no perfect circumstance. I get that.
Yeah, but like, again, I just sit here. Like, if we ask the question, is it my last straw? One, my last straw was like 2 weeks ago. Two, we are far past my last straw.
You have a quick trigger there, Jake.
Like, well, I evaluated as why Joe is playing the game, why he is actually playing the game for the Cleveland Browns is to win football games. Joe does nothing to help you win games right now. Like, there is nothing that he's doing so well that I'm like, Joe gives you a real chance, a real fight in this game. Like, I'm walking into London right now. If Joe's the starting quarterback, if this ends up being like following the Ravens game and they name Joe the starter, I'm in the exact same spot. I'm walking to this game going, there's zero chance Joe Flacco is going to win me this game. If they're going to win, they have to win in spite of Joe. And it's not all his fault. Like, there's plenty of things wrong with this offense. But again, there's a lot of things wrong with a lot of offenses. There's no perfect offense in the NFL. Like, everywhere you look around, you go, you know, people aren't playing well. And I get it. The Browns are playing bad at just about every spot you could ask. But, okay, like, then I need my quarterback to step up and be the difference maker. And right now I know that's not Joe. I know that, you know, when you go to London, it's going to be the defense that has to show up. The Browns aren't going to score 20 points unless, you know, the defense scores 14 of them. That's my only chance.
Can I just say, too, I think I've realized, and this isn't just by watching the Browns, this league is like, it's crazy how many teams are just completely out of the mix because their offensive line, the offensive line play in this league is just bad. Like, there's just not a lot of good offensive line play. Like, the Eagles are, they have hit the lottery. Their offensive line is phenomenal. And there's probably a few other teams that I'm forgetting off the top of my head that have, like, strong offensive line play. But it's wild that a team like the Browns just doesn't have a good offensive line right now, like, across the board. But there's other teams that they lose one guy and their season just goes up in smoke because it's crazy how there's just not a lot of depth at those positions right now. I don't know if they have to, like, find a program to get guys trained for the NFL or what, or if, like, everyone just needs to go to, like, Iowa and Alabama where good offensive linemen come out from or something. But man, like, these first couple weeks have just shown me how bad offensive line play is.
Listen, I'm ready for the program, right? I shed off a little bit of fat, put on a little bit of muscle.
And Dom Clare was a lineman. He played at Ball Wallace. Yeah. He can bulk back up a little bit and get himself ready, you know.
I played 1 year of football in middle school. I started at right guard. I got some experience under the belt.
I mean, at this rate, they might be having open tryouts because they had to make the trade for Cam Robinson today. Let's go to the phones. Jason in Berea, he's right down the street from where Kevin Stefanski is contemplating making a quarterback change. Jason, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. A couple of different points. You were saying about you're not sure how Joe Flacco would be able to take the time change and flying over the ocean and all that. Well, Aaron Rodgers is even older, and he looked fine yesterday. So I think that might not be an issue.
And he ruptured his Achilles 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know what that has to do with yesterday, but, you know. Yeah,
his Achilles, I mean, might have still been back because, in the U.S. right now.
I mean, he did leave it on the field in MetLife, so maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know, here's another thing, though. Like, what I don't understand, you can't look for logic in Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry in anything that they've done together. Really, drafting, not being able to scout, not being able to evaluate talent, giving away three number one draft picks or, you know, first round draft picks for that monumentally ridiculous trade. You know, they gave away their future with those draft picks. And that's why the defense is so far ahead of the offense right now. And the offense isn't even, you know, beginning to really be built. They need the offensive linemen. And, you know, they could have had another key position if they didn't draft two rookie quarterbacks this last draft, which made no sense at all. And, you know, if you got these two young guys, you know, before you picked either one of them that you're going to have two first round picks next year. And it's a more of a quarterback rich draft supposed to be. And you got these two guys and you have 13 games left. If it was me, I would absolutely put Gabriel out there this week because it's not a home game for anybody. So it's neutral territory. It's a crowd that, you know, doesn't really know football that well, you know, other than the people that fly there to root for each team, but probably not that many. And yeah, I think it's the perfect stage to do that. And I think that they should give Shedeur Sanders an equal opportunity as well. I think they should both get six games, and whoever plays better gets the seventh instead of six.
All right, Jason.
You got.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Jason, we appreciate the call. That was my stance from the beginning of the season. It was like, I'd rather see these rookies anyway. We know we know on the outside what the season is. Internally, they're going to tell themselves it's something different. You know, I would have preferred to see Dylan Gabriel to start the year because then you can get a better sense. The more games you get of both these guys, the better sense you can get of how good or bad they are. I do think, I don't know, Now that I think about it, the change is probably coming sooner rather than later. I did it like before the season started. There was a world where I was like, if you come out of the first six games and Flacco's like 2-4, 3-3 somehow, which honestly they could be set up for that if they had beaten the Bengals. Are they really going to bench him? Like there was almost a world where it would have been maybe you don't see Dylan Gabriel till after the bye week, and then at that point I was like, I don't even know if Shedeur plays at that point. Now maybe he get a game at the end. But I do think by the end of the season, you'll see probably both these guys play in some capacity because even if Gabriel plays well, they might get to the end of the season, things are out of reach, and just be like, hey, Dylan, like we really like what we have in you, but we want to see what Shedeur can do for a game. Let's put him out there and not risk any injury, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll probably see Dylan at some point. I like the fun part of this, too, is the draft, and like everyone can kind of, you know, tip their cap to Berry for this year. At least it looks like it's going to be that way early on. And then we're also very quick to be like, Dylan Gabriel's not going to be great, right? I mean, listen, I don't think he's going to be. Like, I'm not banking on Dylan Gabriel being my franchise quarterback. He did also, you know, absolutely nail, like, five picks in this draft outside of quarterback right off the rip. Like, as much as it is crazy to say, like, it's not that wild to think he also nailed the sixth one. Even if it is backup quarterback Dylan Gabriel, looking a lot better than Joe. Like, I wouldn't want Joe to be my backup right now if I'm a team in the NFL. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Joe's been bad. We know. And Dylan isn't. I think there's reason to hold out hope that both Dylan and Shedeur could maybe be something. And that's kind of the whole point of... That's the NFL life cycle. Everything is built around... You draft a quarterback, you get excited about the possibility. I mean, we did this with DTR. And DTR, we probably all knew, wasn't going to be very good. But we all talked ourselves into it when he was out there in the preseason balling. William in North Olmsted, what's up?
Hi, yes. I just don't understand why at this point our fans haven't protested against Kevin or AB to get them removed because obviously they're not doing their jobs. And we've been dealing with this for such a long time now is, you know, I'm surprised our fans haven't gotten to that point.
I mean, I would make the argument our fans have been there for 2 or 3 years. I constantly hear that conversation.
Yeah, appreciate the call,
William. I mean, that's everywhere. And like, to the point, like, not to say this team's going to be good. I don't think anybody expected this team to be good. I can't make an argument that Andrew Berry, again, you take, I think by renewing, you know, making sure he's here this year, if you're Jimmy Haslam, if you go from the end of last year to this year, it's hard to argue Andrew Berry hasn't done his job.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's last year there was a lot of talk about Barry being on a hotter seat than Stefanski, and I think this year that could sort of flip itself. Not that I think they're ultimately tied to each other, which is they're probably both safe. We'll talk to Daryl about that coming up at 3:20, I'm sure. But I don't think either gets fired, but there's a world where, at least from the fan base standpoint, Barry saves his job because his draft class has been so good. And Stefanski, you get to the end of the season, you're like, this offense still is not very good, and what's kind of going on, and has he run his course, and all those different questions kind of arise. We'll squeeze in one more here before the break. Nelson and Avon Lake. What's up, Nelson?
What's up, boys? Hey, I keep it quick. I always thought, and Spence, you and I talked about this before the season started, that this was going to be a fact-finding type of season, right? Mm. When you drafted Dylan in the third round, but nobody thought in the NFL he should go that high, and then you backed it up with drafting Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round when no one else in the NFL thought that he was worthy of being drafted, you put yourself in this position. And I mean, I guess we can argue, we can do the picket argument, you know, until we blew in the face. But why, if the object of the season was trying to win while developing, which in my opinion is next to impossible in the NFL, then why was Pickett traded? I don't get it. I don't get it. Not for the pick that they got, and now you're stuck with Joe. And I feel awful for Joe because it is clear that Joe, that Father Time has come calling.
Yeah.
Joe's time has passed. And at this point, I don't know that Dylan will give us will be better than Joe or give us a chance to win games, but we need to find out.
Yeah. And that's well said, Nelson. Hey, I apologize, man. We're up against it. I think Pickett was traded because the value of getting the draft pick back was just too good for Engie Barry to pass up, frankly. Well, and they didn't really get the chance to see him potentially be here on the starting job because of the injury. It was just a very unfortunate circumstance for those who were in the Kenny Pickett camp. I wasn't. But I do think they did probably want him to be the starter when the season began.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I hate the fact-finding comment, by the way. Like, if that was the start of the year, you're at a point right now where the defense is playing, where if you got competent offense play, this team could be winning football games.
Well, and that's what I thought it was going to be, even with Flacco.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.